Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of the White Graves Baptist Church, located in Ranger, Georgia. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at www.whitegravesbaptist.org. And now to the pulpit of the White Graves Baptist Church.
But let's go to Psalm 23 together. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's reading Psalm 23, verse 1 through verse number 6. I want to bring your attention here for a moment on the phrase in chapter or verse number 5, in the middle of the verse, "Thou anointest my head with oil." I want to preach on anointing our head with oil for just a few minutes. God, pray that you would add your richest blessings to the reading of your word. I pray you'd guard me and help me to and guide me and help me to preach thus saith the word of God. I pray you'd help me make these applications clear and concise. And for the saved person, they would get help from the word of God tonight. And then if there be one lost under the sound of our voice or in the range of the video, I pray, God, they'd be saved tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, what we've learned in Psalm 23 thus far is we've learned that the shepherd cares for the sheep in every aspect of the sheep's life. There is, if you could say it like this, there's no stone unturned in the sheep's life that the shepherd doesn't know about. And that includes when trouble comes to that sheep. Now, in the past, let me give you this a quick overview. But in the past, we've talked about how that the shepherd satisfies the sheep. And that's verse number 1, "I shall not walk." We talked about how the shepherd will create green pastures that the sheep can lie down in verse number 2. And then he'll lead beside still waters. And if the shepherd has to, he will create a place of still waters for the sheep to be able to drink from. And then in verse number 3, we found out that the shepherd will pick up the sheep when he needs restored. When the sheep falls down or when he faints, he will pick him up and put him on his feet again. We talked about how that the shepherd leads that sheep in the paths of righteousness and in the good way. And I'm glad the shepherd does that for his name's sake, not the sheep's name's sake, but for his name say. We saw in verse number 4 that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to fear because he's with us, and the shepherd is with the sheep, and he draws the sheep into close presence and proximity to the shepherd. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that shepherd uses his rod and staff to direct and, if need be, correct the sheep on the path on the way into a path of righteousness. Then, last time we were here, whenever that was, on a Sunday night, verse number 5, we talked about, "Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies," and how that the shepherd prepares a tableland for in the summer months for the sheep. But tonight I want you to notice the interesting part of this, and the interesting part of the care of the shepherd is that he anoints the sheep's head with oil. See, there's a few times in a sheep's life where the shepherd needs to apply oil to the head of that sheep. And we can talk, I'll give you just a rundown and then we'll look at these individually. In the summer months, insects are abundant in the summer months. We're learning about that as we hit the springtime. A lot of bugs are coming out, and they'll irritate the sheep to the point even to suicide if left unattended. And then also in the summer month, there's a disease called scabs that can come on the sheep, and it infect the sheep and cause grave damage to the sheep. If though that scab is a very contagious thing. And then another thing we're going to talk about tonight is in the autumn, in the fall time, that's rutting season. And those rams will, the rams will be competing for a mate, and they will headbutt, and they will bash each other's head with their head, and they can cause some great damage to the entire flock of the sheep for the shepherd. And in all these instances, the shepherd applies oil to the head of that sheep to try to bring peace, to try to bring contentment and comfort back to the life of the sheep. Tonight, real quickly, I don't want to wear anybody's patience, real quickly, I want to talk to you about these three areas in detail and how they can apply to our life as Christians. Number one, I talked about the insects. I want to label this or title this point number one, I guess, stress. Stress. You say, I don't understand. Well, let's just talk about it. The summer months, I've already said, many insects emerge, and they can be a nuisance to any kind of livestock. If you know anything about livestock, you know that's true. And the most common of these insects are flies. And I didn't know this until I was studying this out a couple years ago, that there's a lot of different types of flies. I thought a fly is a fly, a fly. And they're annoying and they're nasty and all that. But flies are everywhere, and they bother all kinds of livestock. Flies can cause a beautiful summer to be a time of torment for sheep. Matter of fact, there's a specific fly that I studied about called a nasal fly or a nose fly. And it's not because it looks like a nose, it's because it tries to get into the nose of the sheep. Those flies, the nasal fly, will fly around the nose, the face of the sheep, and try to land into the nose, the nostril, that fly will try to lay its eggs. It wants to lay its eggs, listen to this, in the snot, in the nasal passage of that sheep. You say, that's nasty. That's a fly. What do you expect? I mean, that's probably the cleanest thing they lay their eggs in. But in the nose of a sheep. Well, what happens is those eggs eventually hatch and larvae come out, and that larva will crawl up into that sheep's head, burrow into that, and then you say, that's just nasty. You watch nastier stuff on television. Don't give me that. And they'll crawl up into that head of that sheep, and they'll burrow up into the flesh of that sheep. And you talking about causing a grave irritation of that sheep? And that sheep will do everything to try to get rid of that irritation. I mean, you got to think the sheep can't see what's going on because it's inside of it. And they said that the sheep will even beat its head on a rock or a tree trying to get relief from this irritation of these flies and this larva inside of their head. I read that larva can even get up so far. One of the common things that happens is it can get up so far where it messes up the vision of that sheep and cause total blindness for that sheep. Man, that's a bad deal. I read I said earlier on in these messages, early on in the series, that, and if you know anything about sheep are very skittish. They're very scared. And the reason they're very scared is because they're stupid. Hold up, I just thought about something. I need to run a purposeful rabbit trail. People who live in panic are usually because they're ignorant and they're unlearned. You say, what do you mean? The people who are running around like a chicken with their head cut off is because they're not listening and they're not learning and they're not trying to listen to the right sources. And I know we were just talking about this before. Where is the right sources? I don't know. That's why I've limited to almost nothing. Amen. And so, but I'm telling you, but here's why. And I'm not being ugly. We are afraid of the unknown. I'm not scared of the dark, because dark ain't never hurt nobody. I'm scared of what I don't know is in the dark. Hello? I mean, I don't know if it's the boogeyman or just something I'm going to stump my baby toe on. I mean, but I'm not scared of the dark itself, but I'm scared of the unknown inside the dark. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so these sheep are scared because they don't know much. Well, what happens is you get one startled sheep, it'll cause a whole flock to get crazy. And so those flies will be flying around, and I don't know if they know it's a nose fly or they just hear the buzzing and think every fly's a nose fly. All of a sudden, those sheep will go crazy trying to get away from those flies. And the whole flock will go in a stampede. And I read this, that the flock will be so scared they won't even come out into open grazing ground because them flies are bothering them so bad. I thought, what do you do about it? What does a shepherd do about it? Now listen, you know, a shepherd has to pay attention to these kind of things of their sheep, because a sheep can't do anything about it. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep can't fight for themselves. And sheep, you know, I see cows and they got their tail wagging back here, but a cow can't slap in front of their face, and a sheep's tail can't slap in front of their face, so they can't do nothing about it. You know, sheep can't go out and buy any off or buy any deep, you know, them bands you wear when you go out in the woods and stuff like that to keep bugs away. They can't do that. So somebody else got to take care of them. And the shepherd does that. I read that what the shepherd will do, and even today they do this, and they'll take oil, mix it with sulfur, and it seemed like there was something else they mix it with. And the shepherd would take that oil and he would spread it across the head and the nose of that sheep. And it just smeared all over the head and nose of that animal to protect from the insects. Now watch this. Does it get rid of the flies around the sheep? No. It just keeps the flies from bothering the sheep. It doesn't repel the flies from stop flying around their head. It just, they won't land on the head and they won't lay their babies on the head. And I read after a shepherd, and he said that it was amazing to watch a sheep as soon as the oil was applied to the head and to the nose of that sheep. He said it was amazing of the contentment that came over the flock. The sheep who were all aggravated and they were irritable, they were restless, now they've got peace. Now they can lay down in green pastures. Now they'll graze in those pastures, and now they will have just peace. Shepherd puts the oil on its head and on its nose. Now think about this, child of God. You got some flies that are bothering you. And this is simple preaching. I don't think I'm going to blow your mind with anything tonight, but you got any little, small, petty irritations that's got you to the point of beating your head against the wall, so to speak? Little flies? Listen, I'm not saying that, hey, that larva I told you could cause blindness if not dealt with. So, I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't grow into something big, but a fly is a fly. A little. You got some little stuff in your life that's about to drive you crazy. Some tiny torments that's got you to the point, again, if you're not careful. Listen, I read that these sheep, they get so messed up about this thing, they'd beat their head against the rocks and the trees so hard that they'd even kill themselves trying to get rid of some little fly that's bothering them. Restlessness, aggravation, irritation. In a frenzy, in a frolic, in a panic. And if you're not careful, we'll let that little bitty fly aggravate us to the point where it'll affect somebody else. You ever woke up, what they said, on the wrong side of the bed? And you was bothered, and it wasn't nothing. If you was to really sit down and think about what caused all that, you'd say, it's something stupid. I know you probably ain't supposed to say that. I'm trying to keep it G. It's silly. It's little, like a little fly. Caused you to be so upset. But watch this. Your attitude, your aggravation, your irritation rubbed off on your spouse. And then you got into a little a discussion with them. And it ended up like this. What are you so mad about? I don't know what you're so mad about. It wasn't nothing but a little bitty fly. And then watch that y'all's aggravation, irritation rubbed off on your children. And now the whole house is aggravated. The whole house is restless. And it all started with a little fly flying around your head, getting you in a tizzy, getting you all messed up. Hey, watch this. Thank God we've got a great shepherd. We have a great shepherd who sees the pest in our life, and he comes to apply the oil of the Holy Spirit to our head. I want to give you this. The oil represents, in our Bible, the oil always represents the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. That's what Christ called him in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is represented by the oil. But I said, well, I thought to myself, well, what's so important about the head? I understand why the head's important to the sheep. That's where his nose is. His nose is on his head. What about us? You know where those little flies fly around in our lives? In our minds. Our mind is the battlefield for those little bitty flies. Our mind is where that little petty stuff wants to lay its eggs in our life, and we'll let that stuff, what about this terminology, crawl all over us. What about that? We'll let the little larva of the little bitty fly crawl all over us and get up, and it's all in our minds. And the sweet Holy Ghost, the shepherd, he will apply the oil of the Holy Ghost to our minds. And it doesn't get rid of the irritations out here. It doesn't get rid of the aggravation out here. It just blocks it from bothering us. It just puts a shield from it bothering us. Hey, the problem's still out there. The trouble's still out there. The buzzing is still buzzing around us. But there's a shield of the oil of the Holy Spirit over our minds to keep the eggs from being laid in our minds. And that little fly causes a bunch of stress. Stress from them little bitty flies. A lot of times we think our stress is a justifiable stress. And listen, friend, I know a little bit about stress. I joke with my doctor sometimes, my chiropractor. And he knows what I do. And he'll get in there and be adjusting me. And he'll say, "Will, are you stressed?" And I don't even respond. I'm not even going to respond to that. But you know what? A lot of times, you know what? That stress, it's self-induced stress. But really, you know what it is? It's about them little flies that are bothering around. Man, my phone's right there videoing right now. That little fly right there, well, that would drive you crazy, right? That drove me crazy all day today. Not because anybody, if you've texted me or called me today, you're not bothering me. I'm just saying that. But, I mean, it's just been like a little fly irritating me today. I'll be honest with you, I visualized myself throwing it through the wall a couple times today. I know y'all won't admit that stuff, but it'll be all right. Y'all can be liars if you want to. I'm going to be a real Christian, okay? But, I mean, I'm serious. I thought, man, this thing's going to fly out of here, amen? And this is something little bitty stuff. And what we're not careful, though, we'll let that kind of stuff fall. I could go on and on, but you know what flies are bothering you. You know what flies are maybe flying around your marriage right now. It's caused some, you've got some tension in your home. Right now, I'm not no prophet, the son of prophet, but you've got tension in your home. You know, how do you know that? Because two people living together are going to have some tension. I mean, that's just going to happen. And there might be a little fly flying around, irritating you, aggravating you. Hey, won't you let the shepherd come by and apply the ointment of the Holy Ghost on you? Hey, let me say something about this applying the ointment to these sheep. He didn't just do it one time. He did it over and over and over and over. Now listen to me. We got the Holy Ghost indwelling us at the moment of salvation. Amen, amen, amen. When you were saved, you were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Amen. And thank God he indwells us at the moment of salvation. But listen, he anoints us for service. And he anoints, and listen, we talked about on Sunday night, Brother Luke brought this out about being Spirit filled. That is an anointing. That is having that oil anointing you to walk in the Spirit. And that's a moment by moment thing. We need the oil to anoint our minds to keep those irritations, that stress away from us. I just thought about this. Some of you's part of that Independent Baptist witch doctor crowd. I pick on at our church, and my wife's part of that hippie stuff. I mean, that stuff, and these essential oil stuff. I don't understand none of that stuff. I don't know. And it may all work. I don't know. I'm not against it or for it. I'm not advertising for it or against it, whatever. But there's one, I think, called Stress Away. Stink. I'm going to not put it on my body. I'm gonna drink a gallon of that stuff, amen, if it works, amen. But in reality, there's oil. There's oil, and it wasn't oil that shepherd would put on that sheep to keep that stress of those flies away from irritating. You know, it's the Holy Spirit alone who can give you the mind of Christ. You know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can do that for us. You know, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can give us the attitudes of Christ, and my, how I want the attitudes and attributes of God in my life. You know, it's the Holy Spirit, that oil is the only thing that can help us remain calm, cool, and collective in the moment of aggravations in our life. That oil is what, again, I done told you, that sheep, when it got oil on it, it doesn't stop the flies from flying. But I guess that sheep knows that oil is not going to let that fly bother it. And you're still going to have things, aggravating things happen. But if you'll walk in the Spirit, be anointed by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, it'll block it from bothering you so bad. So we're talking about stress. You want joy in your life, you want contentment in your life, love, peace, patience, gentleness. You want that? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Maybe some of you like your temper. It's funny watching these Christians brag about their hot temper. You know what I think about that? They're Christians. I'm videoing so you can see me. Amen. A Christian ain't going to brag about their hot temper. Oh, I'm hot tempered. Probably not as hot tempered as you think you are. Some of you like that stuff because you're drama filled. Full of drama. Drama, 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 drama. Save the drama for your mama. Amen. And but tempers. Some of you like all this frustration. Some of y'all work something up over everything. You say, who are you preaching to? Whoever listening. I don't know how many's listening. Frustrations. You like all that irritable. You like being irritable. You just find something to be mad about. You just, don't you let the Holy Ghost put some joy in your life? Some contentment in your life. Put a smile on your face. You say, I ain't smiling about nothing. I'm telling you what I pray. You know what I pray? I pray all the time. Lord, don't let me grow up to be an old grumpy man. And you know what I got to say? If there's any old people watching, if you're grumpy all the time, it's because you're not spirit-filled. Amen, preacher. That's right. You ought to shout that amen to your phone. If you're a grumpy old person, it's because you're not spirit-filled. I'm thankful we got some good old people in our church that are not grumpy old people always chewing somebody's head off. Hey, I'm telling you why, because they're spirit-filled, amen. They got joy and contentment and peace and long-suffering, and they've had a lot of patience with this old boy right here. Amen. And so I don't want to be an irritable old man one day. I want to be spirit-filled, amen. So we see God applies the oil in our life with stress. I hope you're okay. I hope you smile a little bit. We need to smile a little bit because you're going to frown right here. Number two, he deals with our sin with this oil. So what are you talking about? I mentioned in the introduction that not only does insects rise up in the summer months, but there's a parasite that'll come on the scene and it'll cause a disease in these sheep called scab. And now we know what a scab is. You know, we tell kids, you scrape yourself, don't pick your scab where that blood dries up. And the same kind of concept, but it doesn't just happen because they fell or because they got injured. It comes from a parasite. And it's a very highly contagious disease that can go from sheep to sheep very easily. And you know, sheep don't know nothing about social distancing. So sheep don't shake hands and they don't hug, but they'll rub their heads together. And so the most common place for this scab to happen, it happens on their head. And so, and again, it'll cause a lot of irritation, just like a scab. You know how a scab does when it starts to, you know, heal up and things like that. And again, they rub their heads together, so it'll spread from sheep to sheep around the head. And again, just like with the flies, the only antidote for these scabs is oil. And the shepherd takes these oils, and now they can get scabs in other parts of their body. And I read with sheep, shepherds would have to even get whole tubs of oil and dip the sheep in that oil. But it's hard to dip the head of the sheep down into the oil. So they would have to take that oil and anoint or pour the oil over the head again and smear it over the head and the face of the oil. And I thought about those scabs, and I thought those scabs, those bugs, those insects were like a picture of stress in our life. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. But you know, these scabs are like sin in our life. I thought about it like this, because you know, that tiny little parasite can't be seen by the natural eye. And our most of our sin is not huge, big sin. It doesn't start that way anyway. Our sin starts off like a tiny little parasite nobody else can see. Sometimes we can't even see. Hello? Most of my sin this week has crept in unawares on me. It was there. Something happened, and it just slowly cut. And you know why I didn't see it? I'm going to tell you why I didn't see it. Because I wasn't being sober and being vigilant, like the Bible said. Amen. That's right. That's my fault. But nonetheless, I didn't see it. It's a tiny little parasite. And that tiny little parasite comes in, and it starts making some damage. And really, at first, the only one that knows it is the sheep that has it. Not the other sheep don't know. The shepherd doesn't know at first that he's got this parasite. And only the sheep that has the sin, the scab, just knows it. But all of a sudden, finally, it starts showing up. And you just like these scabs, sin's contagious. I thought about this. It's mostly found in the head. Again, what was the head? The mind of the believer is the battlefield of our lives. It is the battlefield for stress, but it's the battlefield for sin. And in our minds can be easily contaminated by concepts and ideas of this world. Our minds can. See, our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, the choices we make, the impulses, our drives, our desires, they're all shaped and influenced through exposure to other people. Good or bad. Good or bad? You know, I don't know much more. Most of my friends are in the ministry, and I'm thankful for that. Most of my friends are in either some kind of ministry, evangelism, pastoring, missionaries. And so through the week, the people I talk to, it's about ministry. What's going on in the church? What's going on with your people? How's things going? And you know what? That influences me in a positive way. You know, there's some people I talk to and some friends who all they do is down everything. They just complain about everything. They find fault with everybody. You know what I find myself doing this? I know y'all are better than me, but I find myself, when I talk to them a lot, I find myself doing the same thing. I start fault finding. I can't even go to church with them no more. Because every time we get out of a service, they want to complain and somehow they could have done it better and all this stuff. And it ruins me. You know why? Because my mind is easily contaminated by others. But then I got some friends, and I'm telling you what, they're all about it. Man, they're positive, and man, they're just always just, they're sharpening me and they're encouraging me. And when I'm around them, man, it just does something for me. And so you can be positively or negatively influenced by your friends, your coworkers, who you're following, or what you're following on social media. Some of you need to push this button called unfollow on some of them pages you're following on social media. Not White Grace Baptist Church, and you need to follow that one. But there's some of these things you need to unfollow. There's a button like that. Hey, some people on your Facebook you need to unfriend. You say, well, that's my cousin. So, unfriend. Why? Because they're influencing your ideas. They're influencing your decisions that you make, choices you make. And it'll cause you to sin. I thought about this. We're living in a very connected world, though we feel like we're so disconnected. We're connected to, you know, I thought about that. Used to, we wouldn't know what went on in New York. The stuff that's happening in New York today, we know about it today. It used to be a week later, and only the people that got the paper would read I remember an old man telling me this. I don't know how true this is. I believe him. I don't have no reason to doubt his story. But he said something happened in the Dug Gap Valley area of Whitfield County back in the civil rights days. And he said back then, he said, we didn't even know what was going on in Atlanta and Chattanooga. He said, we didn't understand. We didn't know what was going on there. He said, we were there in the valley, and we took care of ourselves, and we got along well together and things like that. Nothing was wrong there. He said, all of a sudden, they wanted to make a big march through the valley, up from Atlanta to Chattanooga or something like that. I don't know. He said, but the leaders of the valley got together and said, we're not doing that. We're not. Hey, listen, you're keeping that away from our people. We're doing fine without that kind of strife in our area. See, they didn't even know what's going on. Listen, somebody sneezes in Atlanta, we hear about it. I mean, we know we're so connected. And listen, you say that's a good thing. Well, it could be if you're following the right things. But I highly doubt you're following all the right things. I know this. I'm not following all the right things. I thank God for the unfollow button and the unfriend button. You say, you'd unfriend somebody? Yeah, I would unfriend somebody. Well, you're just judgmental. Call me what you... No, I'm carnal. And I don't... There's some stuff I can't follow, some stuff I can't read, some stuff I don't need to see in my life. Why? Because it'll contaminate my mind. So what do I need? I need the Holy Spirit to anoint my mind to block the sin out of my life. I need it to block it. I love this verse. It's Philippians chapter 4. One of my favorite verses about our minds and thinking and keeping our minds right. Because I'm telling you, our minds is where it's at, y'all. Our minds is what's going to destroy you. Your mind's what's going to get you down and out. The mind is a battlefield. And the Bible said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, you ought to listen to the last words of somebody. The last word. And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. What are we supposed to be thinking about? True things, honest things, just things, pure things, lovely things, and of good report things. Guess what? Number six, good report, just canceled everything you probably watched today. It's bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. I just need to label it instead of saying Fox 5 News, and these are Fox Bad News. Hey, man. And Clinton Clinton Bad News Network, or whatever the C is in CNN, and MSNBC, you know, whatever MS is, and bad news. I mean, it's all bad news, bad reports. We need to hear good reports. Lovely thing. You say, well, ain't nothing in the world true and honest and pure and just and lovely and good report. Yes, there is. It's right here. Can you see that? Hey, it's the Word of God. Hey, think on these things. You say, you're just a fanatic. I wished I was. I wished I was a fanatic. Think on these things. You ought to ask yourself, is it true? I read a lot of false stuff. You know what today? Today, I read something false. And if you're part of this page and you want to call me out or block me from it, block me from it. I don't care. But on Concerned Citizens of Gordon County, that's a bunch of baloney page I've ever heard of in my life. I think I am going to unfollow it today. I'm going to do that tonight when I get done. The headline on somebody's thing, I don't know who you are. If you're listening, that's fine. You can call, we can talk about it. You know what they said? Shaw's shutting down all the plants. Shaw's shutting down all the plants. You know what? First of all, I got a little common sense. I said, that ain't true. I mean, no, anybody with common sense, no, that ain't true. But hey, you know what? It wasn't but a little bit of clicking, a little bit of searching, found out that wasn't true. But you know what they were? They were spewing out false information and wanting everybody to get all crazy and scared. It's like a little bzzz fly at sin. And you say, what's that got to do with anything? I'm talking about bad report. I'm talking about false things, untrue things, dishonest things. We need to be filtering our mind. And listen, the Holy Ghost has got oil. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We talked about it on Sunday night. And walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to think on holy things. You're going to think on honest things. You're going to think on happy things. And so the oil alleviates the stress in our life. It alleviates the sin in our life. Then lastly, and I'm done. Not only does it alleviate? Oh man, I'm running. I got to run fast. Stress and sin, but it alleviates strife in our life. In the fall of the year, insects start to decrease, and the scab of the parasite that kind of starts going away. But something else kind of pops up in the fall of the year. It's called rut or mating season for the sheep. And of course, sheep are not like humans, where humans are supposed to have one spouse for one life. Amen. One man, let me say it politically correct, one biological born man for one biological born woman for one biological life. Amen. I think that's politically correct saying it the way I believe it. Amen. And but sheep are not like that. Sheep are animals. And that's what you need to stop doing. You keep comparing all this stuff to animals. We're not animals. We're not animals. Stop. Well, they do this. No. We're not animals. We're humans. We're men, mankind, a different kind. Read Genesis. Amen. Anyway, I know you've done smoked the dope of the public education system. I know. But I ain't smoked it. Amen. And where's I at? Oh, sheep. Mating season. What happens is every ram, boy, male, sheep, wants to be the big dog, the big ram, top ram, you know, big horn. And so what do? They fight. Want to show who's the toughest and roughest dude around so they can win the, I don't know if the heart or whatever, of the girl. And they'll fight and they'll butt heads it'll get bad. The shepherds I read after said that when they get in that season, you can hear the thumping and head crashing and head busting all day and all night long. I mean, they're going at it. And you're talking about something that causes a lot of pain, hurt, killing each other. A lot of strife. Hey, they think they're impressing the girls, but you know, the girls get to a point like, just like a sheep will get like that, and they'll scurry off somewhere, scare the rest of them off. So you know what the shepherd does? It's funny. The shepherd takes the oil, and he puts oil on its head and on its nose. That way, when the rams go to headbutt each other, they slip off each other. And they slip off each other. And this is what I read after. I laughed out loud, LOL'd, when I read this. That he said that he would, this particular shepherd would put like axle grease or something all over them. And he said when they would hit each other, they would slip off each other. And he said it looked so clumsy and they felt so silly, almost like they were embarrassed, and they would just look at each other. And he said that oil would cause them to act, it would look stupid for them to be fighting. It would look really silly for them to have strife. And he said all of a sudden, the contention would kind of just dissipate. The tension would release because now they both feel dumb about what they're doing. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, sheep. And I thought, what about that? These sheep fighting, trying to be top ram. You know, I wished I could say, that's not like us. Christians don't do that. I wish I could say, you know, all saved people, hey, they're all just spirit-filled and they get along with everybody. But it's really sad, but true, amongst God's people, there's a lot of headbutting, a lot of knocking around, a lot of church people. I am going to be careful with the Christian, but a lot of church people that have forsaken the principle of preferring one another above them, their own selves, as the Bible speaks of. And we try to fight to be top sheep, top ram, and we're headbutting. But I'm glad that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Shepherd, the loving Shepherd, can come alongside us. And if you'll yield to Him, that all of the Holy Spirit can be applied to your mind, and the presence of the Holy Spirit can alleviate that strife where it looks foolish to be fighting each other. It looks real silly for you to be headbutting each other. You know, God's people are supposed to be known everywhere for our love for one another. It's amazing to me, we have loved the sinner so much, we've started hating the saint. It's amazing to me. And we ought to love people and want to tell them about how to be saved and all that stuff, but we ought not do it in jeopardizing our fellowship with believers. We're to love one another. But it seems like, though, that's what we're supposed to be known for, it's not what we're known for. Just go to a Christian thread somewhere and watch the comments. You know, I'm talking about unfollowing people. There's some pastor acquaintances of mine that I've had to unfollow because all they've done during this whole ordeal is strife and strife and strife. You say, why'd you unfollow them? Because you're so spiritual? No, because the Holy Ghost said, you don't need to get into that. The Holy Spirit will cause that strife to go away. See, ma'am, sir, if you'll yield to the control of the Holy Spirit, He will manifest joy, peace, love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit will be manifest in your life if you will yield to His control. Somebody says, you make that sound super easy, but it's so hard. You know why it's hard? It's because we have gotten so used to yielding to our flesh. Played ball my whole life, and we did not just go play games. We didn't just have games. We practiced a whole lot more than we played. We would practice in football, we'd practice 4 days a week and play one game. You know why we did that? It was because we knew that practice was going to make us better. But you know what happens in our lives as a Christian? You know what we practice? We practice yielding to the flesh all the time. So guess what's easier? That. You know, coaches used to say, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. I remember I played ball from the time I was five, football to the time I was five, till I was about 18, 19. I think I was 19 years old. And you know what most every practice we started out with doing? Every season at least. Show me your stance. What? I've been doing this, Bob. Show me your stance. Get in your stances. Stand in your stances. Practice your stances. You know, they tell us get in your living room and go to your mirror and practice your stance, practice your stance, practice your stance. Why? Because I want it to be natural for you to be in that stance. You know what happens to us? We get natural, natural, natural is, for us, is yielding to the flesh. But you know what would be better for us? If we practice yielding to the Spirit. In every part of our life, practice yielding to the Spirit. You say, well, how do I yield to the Spirit? He tells you to do something. Well, how do I know it's the Spirit? If He's telling you to do something right, it ain't the devil, it ain't the flesh, and it ain't the world telling you to do something right. Amen? If He's telling you to do something that lines up with Scripture, it is the Spirit of God. You ain't going to come up with that on your own. You're not that good of a person. Yield to Him. Do it. Whatever it is, do it. And it will line up with Scripture. And it will be right if you do it. Yield to Him. And let the Spirit of God alleviate the stress of your life. Let the Spirit of God alleviate the sin in your life. And let the Spirit of God alleviate the strife between you and fellow believer. Thou anointest my head.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of the White Graves Baptist Church, located in Ranger, Georgia. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at www.whitegravesbaptist.org.